Paul lived in kind of a either-or world. He said, either I can be a servant of Christ, or I can please people. I can't do both. Paul lived in either-or. His worldview was either-or. Either I serve Christ, or I please people. I can't do both. I'm trying to either win the approval of people, or I'm serving Christ. Either or, not both. Hey, good evening. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate that. Hey, I'm kind of excited. I mean, I'm nervous, too. I mean, to be honest, I got to be a little bit honest, because I was, like, shaking people's hands, and they're like, why are your hands sweating so much? I'm like, well, I get a little nervous here. But mixed in that nervousness, there is a little bit of excitement, because I've always liked this service, and I don't get to teach in this service very often, but I've always kind of looked forward to it, because this is like the last little pep talk before you guys go out into your mission fields. This is like the coach who brings his team together, you know, right before they go out and take the field, and he gives them that pep talk, and you know, he fires them all up, and they go out and, you know, win the game. And that's kind of like this service. That's what the service is. It's that little pep talk before you go out into your workplaces, into your families, into your communities, into your neighborhoods, and be that living epistle to those people all around you, the aroma of Christ in all those areas. And so I'm just kind of excited to get into this service tonight. So anyway, all that aside, go ahead and open your Bibles, if you have them, over to Galatians chapter 1. If you remember, a month ago or so, I preached out of Galatians, and I'm going to do it again tonight, because for the past couple of months, all I've been eating and drinking and breathing has been Galatians. And so I've got nothing else but Galatians to share with you tonight. So we'll talk about Galatians again, although from a little bit of a different angle, a little different application, different verse, that kind of stuff, but same book. Now, if you remember the book of Galatians, what's going on here is Paul is writing to Galatia, that area in which those churches were found in. And there was a big issue taking place because people had gone in there, some false teachers, and they were teaching them that in order to be right with God, they had to follow the law, the dietary laws, the Ten Commandments, the whole 10 yards. That in order to be right with God, they had to follow these rules and regulations and stuff. And Paul was very against that, very much so. But these people were very adamant, and they wanted to get this message across, so they started to challenge Paul and challenge his authority. They challenged his authority as an apostle. They questioned if he was really an apostle. They challenged his authority as an apostle. And they also they accused him changing his message depending on who he was with. Like he'd be with the Gentiles, and he'd say, oh, you know, the law isn't important. You don't need to keep the law to be right with God. And, you know, that really sounded good to that group. And then he'd go over to the Jewish group and say, no, the law is very important. You got to keep the Ten Commandments. You got to keep all these dietary laws. That's what's right. And that really appealed to that group. And so these people were accusing Paul of doing that, although he wasn't. But that's what he was accusing Paul of doing, to being this people pleaser, to be this like a politician. I mean, you see that going on today. You see these politicians will say one thing and to one group and say something else to another group, and it's just kind of sickening a little bit. And that's what they were accusing Paul of not really being a real apostle and kind of being a politician, you know, saying one thing to one group, you know. And Paul, in the first couple chapters of Galatians, he really attacks those two criticisms. Now, in this verse that we're going to look at right here, he attacks the one where he's accused of kind of being a politician, of being really consumed and concerned with what people think of him. You know, they accused him of being so wanting people to follow him and wanting people to accept his leadership and his gospel, that he would change his gospel to fit whatever group he was in. And they accused him of being that gospel politician kind of thing. And he kind of attacks that idea right here in the first part of Galatians 1. That's where we'll be here. Actually, we'll spend most of the time in verse 10. So if you have your Bibles, in Galatians chapter 1, let's look at verse 10 here. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of men? Now the word, we'll stop right there. The word now is, he's referring to what was said just a few verses earlier. He says, look, based on what I just said and We'll look at that in a second. But based on what I just said, do you think I'm really trying to win the approval of people? Watch here. He says, verse 6, let's jump back to the context here. Verse 6, he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now watch this. This next verse here, this phrase, this way of communicating with people is not found in any seminar on how to win and influence people and make people your friends. Watch verse 8 here. It says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, i.e., the false teachers that are coming into your midst and trying to win you over. It says, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Now, you have to realize something. If you said that, if you walked up here and said that, you'd probably be swearing if you said what Paul just said, if you put it in today's language. I mean, this is some harsh language here. I mean, Paul isn't, he's pulling the sleeves up. He says, okay, let's go. I'm ready to roll. And he says, here's the deal. If someone else comes into your midst, which I know there are, and that's why I'm writing this letter, if some people come into your midst and they preach some other gospel, then may they be eternally condemned. May they burn in the flames of hell. That's what he's saying. That's some harsh language. And then he says, okay, Galatians, people of Galatia, now, after what I just said, do you really think I'm that concerned with what people say? Do you think I'm really that concerned with what people say about me? He goes on. He's making his point really, really hardcore here. But he goes on. Watch this. He says, verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And that last little bit of that verse is very profound to me. Paul lived in kind of a either-or world. He said, either I can be a servant of Christ, or I can please people. I can't do both. Paul lived in either-or. His worldview was either-or. Either I serve Christ, or I please people. I can't do both. I'm trying to either win the approval of people, or I'm serving Christ. Either or, not both. Now that's a little different than our world, oftentimes that we live in. We live in a world that's very dichotomized. We have this idea that we can somehow serve Christ and win the approval of people all at the same time. It's because there's this dichotomy in our minds that we can go and we see the word servant as the idea of like an employee. So like, I go to work and I clock in and I work for my boss for a while, then I go and I clock out and I go do whatever I want. And that kind of carries over into our Bible studies in church. I come to church and I clock in. Now, I do, but you don't. you come and you clock in and you serve Jesus and then you walk out and you clock out. And then you go to your small group or your community group and you clock in and you serve Jesus and then you clock out and go do whatever else you do. You go to your Bible study and clock in. And the Bible study's over, you clock out and go do whatever you need to do. And see, the thing is Paul had a different idea of the word servant of Jesus. See, the word here in the Greek is the word doulos, which means slave, a bondservant. It's not like an employee where you clock in and clock out. It's a bond, it's a slave. He says, look, either I'm winning the approval of people or I'm the slave of Jesus. Now watch this. Here's that little definition that I looked up in a Bible dictionary thingamajigger about slave, doulos. You know, okay, here it is. This is pretty cool. Watch this. It says, this is what a doulos is. This is what a slave is. That's the word that Paul uses here. One who gives himself up to another's will. That's good. I like that. One who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. Here's the next one. Devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. I'll throw that one out there again. This is good. is the idea of doulos that Paul uses here. Devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interest. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, look, either I'm trying to win the approval of people, or I'm a slave of Jesus. You know, the idea of slave, a bondservant of Jesus, doulos, it's the idea of being all in. There's a good poker analogy there. That idea of being, I mean, pushing chips in, that's kind of bad. Is that bad? It might be bad. I haven't done it before. But the idea is that everything's in that, all the, here, I'll change it to a farm analogy. All the eggs are in that one basket. That's the idea. There we go. Take the poker analogy out of there. We're farming here in Iowa. You have this basket, and you're carrying the basket from the chicken coop to your house. And you put all your eggs in that one basket. So if that basket breaks or drops, it's all done. All your hopes, everything's in there. That's the idea. That's the idea. What Paul's saying is, it's everything. Everything. All my eggs are in that basket. I'm not holding a couple of eggs here or here. It's all there. That's all where it is. And that's Paul's idea of what it means to be a servant of Jesus. And around here, we call that lordship or living sacrifice or whatever. It's that idea of all your eggs in that basket. And that's why we can't serve people. No, that's not right. We can't try to win the approval of people and serve Jesus at the same time. Now, sometimes, when you're pleasing God, that will please people too. You know, it can overlap a little bit. But they can never be inverted. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He says, I'm never going to try to win the approval over serving Jesus. This has a lot to do, I think, with motives sometimes. Except we can do things that are good and look good and right, but deep in our heart, we're not really doing it to please God. We're doing it to win the approval of men. You know, for me personally, this is something that has really come to the forefront of my mind this semester. Just the past couple of months. I remember after our first impact, I'll give you a little context here. We do something in our college ministry, which is really kind of neat. Each school year, before the school year starts, like the week before school starts, we go to DMAC and we help all the students move in to the apartments over there. And we're carrying couches, you know, and we're just doing all the dirty work, and it's hard work. But we're doing that the whole time. We're just loving people, we're smiling, we're offering, and people are just like, you got to be kidding me, this is awesome. And, oh yeah, no problem. And eventually they ask us, well, why are you doing this? Oh, we're just doing this, you know, we're part of this group called Impact, and here's a little flyer about it, and yeah, but we're just here to serve you. And like, wow. And, you know, in the past, like last year we did this, we made so many contacts, and we had so many people from the apartments coming to Impact. We started Bible studies in evangelistic Bible studies right in the dorms or the apartments over there because of that. And a lot of fruit came out of that. So, I mean, it's like a major thing for our college ministry. So we do all that. It's awesome. We make tons of contacts. We meet great people. I'm so excited that first Impact comes that next week. I'm excited. I mean, I can't wait to see who the visitors are. And I think we had like one new DMAC student there. And I'm like, whoa, what's that all about? And like the next week, we maybe one more new DMAC student. I'm like, what is the deal? I remember laying in bed. I'm thinking, God, if I can't get like a Bible study started over in that dorms, I mean, that's like bread and butter. I mean, that's the main stuff over there. I mean, that's where it's happening. That's where you get so many gospel opportunities. And what am I going to do if I can't get more contacts over there? I mean, God, I mean, we went over there, and Lord, we met people. We did everything we did last year. I'm just sitting there. I mean, I'm like freaking out. I mean, I'm freaking out. I'm like, my heart's beating a little harder. I can feel it beep. I'm laying, everybody else is asleep in my house. I'm laying there in my bed wide awake. I'm thinking, oh, man. I'm getting like choked up and frustrated and mad. I'm like, and then like I finally fall asleep, and I wake up the next morning, I'm laying there, I'm praying, you know, and I'm like, God, this is, you know, I'm just begging God, I'm just getting beat up inside, and all of a sudden, I ask this question to myself, Lucas, why are you upset? Why are you upset? I mean, are you upset because your heart's breaking for the campus, and you know, if you don't make these contacts, it's going to be hard to win people to Christ? Is that why you're upset? That wasn't why I was upset. You know why I was upset? Because I knew that I'd have to write a year-end report in January. And the church was going to want to know what kind of fruit the college ministry produced. That's why I was upset. And I sat there, just sick to myself. Sick. I was so exercised and distraught over the lack of visitors that were coming those first couple weeks. Praise God, it's changed since then, but those first couple weeks, I was so distraught. But it wasn't because my heart was breaking for the campus. It's because I wanted to win the approval of this church. And I wanted to win the approval of the deacons. I wanted to win the approval of the pastors. And I wanted to win the approval of my other friends who are college ministers. And, you know, as we compare numbers and stuff and how all that garbage takes place. And I was all wrapped up in winning the approval of people and not God. I tell you what, that is a horrible place to be. It's a dark place. It's a disgusting place. It's like, God, either I have to get this fixed or I have to get out of this ministry thing because this is killing me. This is terrible. I mean, I can't do this. This is terrible. And so I remember just working, just praying through this. It took about 2 days working through it and coming to that place saying, okay, Lord, I can't do this for people. I can't do this to win the approval of people. Yeah, in the process, hopefully I do win the approval of people, but that can't be why I'm doing it. You know, this can happen to all of us. Not just, I think pastors have to struggle through this, but all of us have to struggle through this. At our church here, something that's very important to us is sharing the gospel. And when somebody out here, if somebody in our congregation leads someone to the Lord, we celebrate that, and we should. But what's dangerous about that is all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself trying to win your coworker, not because your heart breaks for them, but because you know people in this church will applaud it, and you'll look good. Am I the only one that's ever done that? I mean, am I the only one that saw some college students that come to our impact group or, you know, people I know who are Christians? And I'm kind of sitting there doing nothing, then I see that person over here is unsaved, and I think to myself, well, I better go witness to them because they're watching. And it's like, what? Did I just think that? And am I the only one that does that? I mean, that happens. Or how about even like your devotions? You know, your the time that you spend in God's word on your own. It's very easy to fall into the trap of not doing that because you want to please God and get close to God, but because you know someone's going to ask you. And so all of a sudden, a very good thing becomes very ugly because you're doing it to win the approval of people and not the approval of God. And I remember sitting in my bedroom thinking, and I said, you know, Lord, I can't do this to try to win the approval of people. I can't do this. I got to just win the approval. I just want to win the approval of you. That's all I want. I just want to please you. That's it. When I wake up in the morning and I go off and I meet people, I do Bible studies, I study, and whatever I'm doing with my time, with my talents, with my efforts, with my money, at the end of the day, when I lay my head on that pillow, I want to think through my day and talk to you and say, okay, I think you're pleased with what I did today. And I don't know if anybody else knows what I did today, and I don't know, hopefully it was good, but at the end, what I have to fight through, what I have to get right with my heart is, God, are you pleased with what I did today? Are you pleased with how I used my time? Are you pleased? And just let the chips fall where they may. And I think that's kind of what Paul's saying here. He's saying that as a follower of Jesus, I just need to strive to be his slave and then just let the chips fall where they may. That just frees us up. I mean, it just frees us up. To be consumed with the approval of men, that's the fear of man. To be consumed with the approval of God, that's the fear of God. God likes us to fear him. God hates it when we fear man. You know, just as you're sent out of this place and you go into your weeks and you go into your offices and into your friendship circles and wherever you interact with people, I just want to encourage you and challenge you with just what Paul is saying here. That we need to say to ourselves, I'm not going to strive to win the approval of people. I'm simply going to be the slave of Jesus. Let's do that this week. I know some of you already are, and I applaud you. I look up to you. It's awesome. for the rest of us, let's strive to do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you just for this chance to, I don't know, this wasn't like profound or it wasn't full of great theological words. And Lord, I think it's important for us to get a hold of. And God, I pray, Lord, you and your word, that's what can get in our hearts and really expose our motives. God, I pray that the Spirit of God would do that, that he'd take his word here in Galatians 1:10 and he'd pierce our hearts to the vision of soul and spirit and joints of marrow, and he would discern and judge the motives of our heart. God, may we be a people who strive to be the doulos of Jesus, the slave, the bondservant, the just consumed with approval of him. And Lord, I know that those things will please people. And by serving Jesus, we'll serve people and love people and please them in that process. But Lord, may that not be our desire in and of itself, but may our preeminent desire, that's a good word for it, Lord, our preeminent desire, our number one desire, be just to please you and simply let the chips fall where they may. Lord, help each of us to take steps in that direction this week. And Lord, I pray that you would send us out now into the world to be lights, to be the aroma of Christ, to be those living letters. Lord, may we love and encourage one another and be a part of a team that we are. Lord, may we strive together to glorify you, to win your approval. And Father, we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.